But you can take out your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things.
Thank you. Well, this is almost it. One more week that we will have been journeying together for a little over 2 years. And I was reflecting back, and I shared with the elders some of the lessons that we had learned from the very beginning, and things that we have been repeating, drilling in, practicing, repeating, evaluating and examining as we went along. Some things that are deeply held and non-negotiable with me as a leader. And so I want to share with you some of the lessons that I've been teaching the elders so that you can be in on what journey they have been on and that we have been doing together as a group in leading the congregation. I remember starting off with the elders and telling them that that I'm not bringing a program, and that I don't have some prescribed thing of what I'm going to see happening in the church. A slide, please. And these lessons that I'm going to be I want to teach the elders are going to be more practices that I have with a group rather than a program that I want to teach. Next slide, please. I'm not bringing a program. Next slide. But what I am going to be doing is continually asking the question, what is God doing here? I don't have an idea, but if we get into the homes of people, enough people, we can hear what God is doing among our people. And as I listen to conversations, talk with the elders and the deacons, we can figure it out together. One of the things that I did insist upon, and the elders received it, was the next slide, and that is that we become an elder-led church, not a pastor-led church of a strong man dictating what would happen in a group and the elders becoming, in effect, yes men and women, nor would we become a congregation-led church. We would be an elder-led church where we would do some things with the elders and then entrust them with the responsibility. One of the things that we did early on was help them find their spiritual gift. I have found that when a person finds their spiritual gift, slide please, they can know what God is doing and leading in their life. And as the different parts of the body, the hand and the elbows and the eyes and the mouth and all the different parts of the body, as they come together, they fit together in a mysterious fashion to become one body that moves in a direction. We've helped so many people here. Next slide. If you could, if you haven't done it yet, go to this site, discoveryourgift.com, and enter in the code, the coupon code, Concord1, and you can take it for free. It's 49 questions. This questionnaire does not determine your gift. It's the Holy Spirit that comes and gives you a gift. What this questionnaire does is that it helps reveal your insides so that you can discern what your gift happens to be. One of the other things that we did was that we helped small groups. And I had this analogy here that this is an antique bucket, and I ruined its value by cutting off one of the stays. But I remember saying, I could put 1,000 gallons of water in here. And I'm assuming this is a 5-gallon bucket. Roughly, how much water is going to stay in this bucket? If I put 1,000 gallons in here, how much is going to remain? 2.5 or so. Okay? Right. And so it was our job to go through the process of building up the systems in this church. They had been neglected for some time, and I have found over the years and research, there's plenty of research out there that says that if you build up the systems of a church, it will become healthy, and of its own, it will grow. And so some of the systems in the church are loving relationships, passionate spirituality, holistic small groups, gift-based ministries, empowering the leadership, need-based evangelism, and functional structures. Oh, and one last one, inspiring worship. So there was quite a bit of discussion about directions that we needed to go. And quite frankly, I didn't know. I really don't. Things that I found, the things that worked in previous churches that were just God-blessed, they were all different from each other. And I had learned over the years that I don't know what God is going to do in this church. I have to wait and find out and see. But I do know that if we build up the systems, the thing is going to grow. So one of the systems that we developed, we got back going, were holistic small groups. And Rebecca has been very instrumental in helping us with those. I found a couple of things. If a person comes in to me for counseling, it tells me right off they're not in a small group. I have found that people who are involved in a small group, the small group takes care of them and figures out what they need to do and learn in that small group. And they don't then need to come and see me. A second system that we found was really necessary was building up inspiring worship. The slide, please. There was discussion going on between whether we have a traditional service or a contemporary service. And I said, that's not the issue. What we want is an inspired worship service, whether it is contemporary or traditional. We want Sunday morning to be an event that when people come here, they leave with their feet tapping and there's joy in their heart and they're looking forward to the coming week. We want people to be able to make that connection between themselves and God. And that happens with inspired worship. Next slide is loving relationships. And I have told you, and I recognized early on among you, I even made the comment, I said, you know, you all like each other. There are some congregations I've been in where there was this group over here and that group over there, and they would not leave through the center aisle. They would go out through the side aisles. There was some tough situations. This group, you were, in fact, I even used the term one time that you all reminded me of a bunch of honeybees, just kind of buzz, you know, going around collecting pollen and then kind of bumping into each other and talking to each other. Early on, when we would start the service, this place was pretty quiet. But you notice when Susan Schoner is trying to lead us in a prelude, that you all are still buzzing, talking to each other, having fellowship, reconnecting with each other. One of the things that I have just learned over the years, next slide, is that we need to train. Those of you who would be around me for any length of time, you would notice that after about 2 minutes, I would start training you. I'd start teaching something. I'd bring up something that would need to occur. And on Sunday mornings, we would train. The next slide is that we would experiment. Every single week. We would try new experiments. Today we're experimenting with the surprise of no worship leader. That's an inadvertent experiment, but we're going to evaluate how that went. Every week, next slide, in almost every group that I'm a part of, we have this evaluation question. What worked, what didn't work, and what can we do better next time? Today, at the end of the adult class, I get together with a small group of leaders, and we talk about the service, and we go line by line through the bulletin. We examine the transitions. Did the music fit? Did it build? Did it build energy? What were some clinker parts of the service? We even evaluate my sermon. And sometimes it stinks. They are never negative or critical. But they're always asking the question, what can we do better next time? And so over time, I believe that this service has really made substantial improvements in terms of becoming an inspired worship service. Next slide is we do need-based evangelism. And next slide, please. Let's define it here. By meeting the needs of people through intentional ministries, churches will grow. But more importantly, they will fulfill the biblical mandate to care for those who are hurting and suffering. We don't want to have an evangelism style that just goes out and lays out a plan of salvation and that people make a commitment afterwards. Nothing wrong with that, but except that it tends not to work. But if we do intentional need-based evangelism, people will respond. You remember the times when we've had the kitchen open for homeless people, and especially serving those people in the towers. We have other very intentional need-based evangelism programs in the church. And evangelism happens spontaneously. The faith is communicated. People see that those who are serving have hope, joy, life-giving spirit, and they want to be a part of that. Next slide is that we want to be an intentional hub in the community. That's part of the mission study that this church spent so much time in, that we want to be the center where the needs of the community are met here. We want to be so indispensable that if this church burned down, that the community would weep. I've been in other churches where if it did burn down, actually I've been in two churches that did burn down. And that's where I noticed this principle. We want to have a church that is so crucial to the needs of the community that if this place burned down for some reason, that the community would weep. Doesn't that make sense? That's what we want this place to be. The next slide is that I told the elders early on that at the level that the elders are operating, things get messy. We wish that we could make decisions based on a whole bunch of compelling facts, but there are some decisions that they're going to be called upon to make where there's a lot of fog, a lot of unknowns. We don't know how it's going to play out. And there are going to be some situations where we have to make decisions that hurt people. Hurt the feelings of people. I've read about the feelings of people. I've heard that they have some. I'm understating my condition. But I have found churches can get paralyzed because there is someone who is ineffective in the position that they're in, but they don't want to move them out because it might hurt their feelings. That has never been one of the scriptures that I've ever read. that we try to avoid hurting the feelings of people. Now, we don't intentionally do that, but when there is somebody who is blocking or interfering or distracting ministries, effective ministries, they have to be moved on. There have been people that I have fired. I said, you're the right person in the wrong job. And in this church, I've had to let go of three people over time. And some of them beat me to the punch. But it was good that they moved on. And other people have filled in. So we now have people on staff who are free to move, who are joyful, who are life-giving, who are racehorses. We have elders who are in the very same position, who are very productive and fruitful in their ministries. But sometimes it's messy getting there. And I wish, I've told the elders, I said, you're going to make decisions with incomplete information, and sometimes you're going to be wrong. You'll learn more information as time goes by, but you need to make the decision, trusting that God is leading you. And for the mistakes that you make, you're going to learn a whole bunch, and it'll be useful later on. Whatever we do here, we have to do this next slide. Jesus says, whatever you do, you got to make disciples. That's the bottom line. It's important to have successful programs. It's important to have good stewardship. It's important to have lots of effective ministries. But if it does not make disciplined followers of Jesus Christ, then we're missing the mark. And so that's what we have to do here. The last slide is one that you've been hearing more recently in recent weeks, and that is that the church is the last great hope of the world. On the front cover of your bulletin, Anne did such a beautiful job there of highlighting that statement. As we look in the newspaper, of course, the newspapers are full of fires nowadays, but as you look at what's happening with the government, with politics, with all the major institutions that have served us so well in the past, that have been such a blessing to us as a culture, they all are getting deconstructed. And indeed, the church has gone through a time and a season where it has needed to repent. And the mistakes of the church will continue. But I have found, and I'm persuaded, and I've given my life to this whole idea, that the church is the last great hope of the world, and I want to give myself to it. It makes a difference. And you being here today, and you giving your life to this body of Christ here, it makes a difference. We're going to stand and sing in just a moment here this this great song about the kingdom. And we are not here to build up a church. We are here with thousands and thousands of other churches who are advancing the kingdom of God. We are under the radar in terms of the media, in terms of popularity, but behind the scenes, which is where I prefer us operate, and from the fringes, we are helping to advance the kingdom. Well, let's stand and sing this great song, Build Your Kingdom Here.